Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
So we've been, of course, following the story that President Ramaphosa is in the United Kingdom. And it's fascinating to see, because I just reported on a speech that King Charles made, which I thought was really, really powerful, acknowledging the past, acknowledging some of the past mistakes that the UK has made. But we wanted to understand a little bit more. Tembisa Fukuda, who is the Africa-Asia Dialogue from AfriSid, to understand why this trip and this visit is important. Tembisa, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, and thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. So, give us some context here in terms of this visit, Ramaphosa's visit to the United Kingdom.
Well, mainly the visit is all about encouraging trade and investment into South Africa. As you know, Sir Ramaphosa has been moving around the world, mainly trying to open up those opportunities because of the current situation that we're facing in this country. But again, the other important and that what makes Ramaphosa much more attractive this time around, particularly to the UK and King Charles, is that they both share this enthusiasm of the just energy transition. If you know, the UK is one of the largest contributors to that $8.5 billion that will assist South Africa to transition from coal to clean energy. So that's one of the reasons also why he's there. But the other people who are saying that it's also a reset type of visit. If you remember that Omricon debacle between the two countries when the UK decided to red list us, notwithstanding twice in 2021. So this was also seen as a reset. But I think on top of the agenda is trade and economics.
And he does seem to do particularly well on these trips. He very clearly provides comfort to foreign countries, because we see this time after time that the response to him is incredibly powerful and positive.
No, indeed, I think the fact that he's the first head of state to be invited by King Charles, that in itself, to me, is a vote of confidence. And as you correctly said, he's been invited at various platforms. You know, he just came back from the G20. He was in Egypt, and all of these platforms are very key. And if you look at the way in which they receive him, it's quite a warm reception that often gets. So he is at the moment, one of those African countries that are much respected by the entire world leadership. And I think there's a support in what he's trying to do, not only in South Africa, but his other Pan-Africa initiatives, and trying to whether to reach peace or encourage economy. And his leadership during COVID-19 as well was well received by international leaders. So yeah, at the moment, I think he's riding on a much more higher wave than most of the African leaders when it comes to political leadership.
What's interesting to me is that we have we've developed a very strange reputation internationally. We're supportive of Cuba, we're supportive of Iran, our position in terms of Russia, Ukraine is ambiguous at best, and yet somehow when he travels, that doesn't seem to impact much.
Yeah, indeed, which makes one wonder whether some of the positions that we've seen are just, or head are just lip service, or they are real, because the way in which he's been accepted by the Western countries suggests that he supports much of the initiatives and political objectives, particularly in Africa. So one wonders whether, the type of positions that we are seeing are mainly to please the ANC, or is it really Cyril Ramaphosa actually espousing those relationships? But I would argue that he's deeply entrenched within the progressive and the Western leadership. The fact that we haven't had, when the Secretary of State visited South Africa at the same time, you had Sergey Lavrov, who was in other African countries. For me, that communicated some sort of political preference.
Mm. There's very little doubt in my mind that this is a field, this is an area where he excels, whereas, you know, back home, there's a lot of skepticism around him, and rightfully so, in terms of the ANC's ability to manage some of our essential services, certainly is not particularly impressive. And yet again, when he travels, we see it just a completely different side. We see photos of him with the royal family, and we kind of feel a sense of, or I do, a sense of South African pride. It's absolutely fascinating, and I'm actually even interested in my own reaction to it, because we've got these such diverse stories that are all happening at the same time.
Yes, indeed. And you know, if you really think about it, if you look at the type of investment that have come to South Africa from last year, we've had quite a number of big companies coming to this country and investing in this country. So there has been that positive story that continues. But of course, you know, at the same time, people on the ground want to see these changes, and they want to see a difference as a result of their popular president overseas. And unfortunately, at the local level, people are not seeing those, that difference. Mm. And of course, what further, you know, messes up the impetus is the, you know, the energy crisis that we're currently facing, Eskom. So notwithstanding what they've just said in the pictures that you see overseas, and indeed the investment that has come to this country, but, you know, the problems of energy that we're facing in this country are damping the spirits and the excitement that will ordinarily have come as a result of the popularity of our president.
Absolutely right. It's really a fascinating study. Tembisa Fikuda, who is Africa-Asia Dialogues, talking to us about President Ramaphosa's visit to the United Kingdom.